The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
But first, over 5,400 people have died in Irish emergency departments in the past 5 years. That's according to data acquired by the Irish Medical Times through a Freedom of Information request. Joining me now is Dr. Chris Luke, author and retired emergency consultant. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Are these numbers alarming? You see, I don't know what to compare them with, international statistics and so on, because the numbers, again, you pick a five-year period, you get a big number, pick a one-year period, you get a smaller number.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point that I think needs to be made first. I mean, we're not used to seeing these sort of figures. We are used to hearing about tragic one-off deaths. And I think there's a little bit of a sense that if somebody dies in an emergency department, that is a calamity. But in reality, many people die in an emergency department or are brought in dead, to be honest. And I note from the coverage in the Irish Medical Times and on RTE News that they're not able to distinguish between people who have been brought in dying, for example, those who really should have been having palliative care in a nursing home or in a hospice or even at home, and very often they're brought in actually to die, as it were. Some of the figures include people who die from, you know, cardiac arrest that where resuscitation has failed. And again, an important point raised by the president of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine, Professor Conor Deasy, is that, you know, the revival rate from cardiac arrest out of hospital is still quite low at about 7%. So, you know, in the olden days, say in the 1960s, 70s, people would just have died. You know, my father had a heart attack and he would have died. Now, almost the majority of people are you know, you'll see a 999 input, and they're now being brought to hospital in the way they weren't, you know, several decades ago. But the as I say, the revival rate is relatively low. In addition, then you've obviously got a growing population of the elderly and the frail. You have, as I want to say to you so often, there are so few portals of access to the health service now that the emergency department doorway has become kind of the eye of a needle. And, you know, you're trying to squeeze people in who would have, you know, previously bypassed the emergency department.
Just give you some of the numbers, because it varies from hospital to hospital. They looked at 26 different emergency departments, and between 2019 and 2023 at Cork University Hospital, 708, which is the highest individual number. And you wonder why that might be when you compare it to St. Vincent's Hospital, which is one of a number of hospitals with emergency departments in Dublin. So 708 in Cork University Hospital, 479 in St. Vincent's Hospital, and then St. James Hospital, 344. But even if you add the two, the number for those two Dublin hospitals is not significantly greater than the single hospital in Cork. At University Hospital Limerick, that's been, of course, the subject of intense focus because of certain cases that were brought to, I suppose, the front of the newspaper headlines. There were 239 deaths. Anyway, we lost Chris just at that critical moment. Chris, you're back.
Forgive me. Yeah, forgive me. Sorry.
Yeah, something happened. The line dropped out. So the people who might have, you were talking about trying to get into a hospital to get the care that you might need, it's like going through the eye of a needle.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's probably the key factor in overcrowding, is that there aren't the alternatives to the emergency department. So, you know, we've got a shrinking primary care sector, as we all know. I mean, from the people who describe difficulty every day in getting an appointment or even registering with a GP in many, many parts of this country. You've got you have a shrinking sector in terms of nursing homes. You know, the numbers are going down rather than going up. You don't have the access to, you know, the rapid access to.
Oh, have we lost that line again?
Hello, Pat.
Yeah, we have you again.
Sorry, Pat. And as I say, so there are too few alternatives, and one of the tropes that used to really, really upset me, in fact, distress me, was the numbers of elderly people at the end of their lives being brought in from nursing homes to die. And I think that was mentioned by Professor Deasy in his communications.
Now you can understand, though, for maybe the family of someone who becomes very seriously ill, maybe quite suddenly in a nursing home, they want to do the best they can, even though there might be nothing that can be done, even in an ED, and they might be better just passing their last few hours in the quiet of a nursing home rather than in the bustle of an A&E and maybe on a trolley.
Correct. I mean, I'm afraid we're at the situation. I mean, the other point that was made in the coverage today was the point that really shook me, which is that the numbers of people attending emergency departments in Ireland is now 1.7 million. I mean, that is a staggering proportion of the population, which it sort of emphasizes the point I'm making about the lack of alternatives. That is just simply too many people coming to our emergency departments. And it's the same picture in Britain, where a third of the population now go to A&E every year. But to go back to your other point, I mean, we, as a population that is aging rapidly, we really, really need to discuss death more than we do. I mean, and I'm not talking in a religious sense, I'm talking in a very practical sense. You know, families should be having conversations with their elderly, if possible, you know, obviously sensitively and thoughtfully, and with the staff of a nursing home or whoever, about, you know, the likelihood of death and what to do. Because honestly, Pat, as someone who's lost two, you know, my mother-in-law and my mother in nursing homes in the last 4 or 5 years, yeah, I'm very well acquainted with a good death in a nursing home that was anticipated, as opposed to people dying in really deplorable circumstances in a massively overcrowded, noisy, you know, fragrant emergency department where there's bedlam. And I cannot emphasize that too much to your listeners. Please think ahead, and if at all possible, you know, say to the people in the nursing home, I mean, obviously with your loved one's agreement, that if possible, can we avoid at the last minute, you know, calling an ambulance? Because honestly, I think that's almost the definition of an unpleasant death.
Now, the point is that the figures are not broken down into the different categories. For example, you talk about someone who maybe was on death's door for quite some time in a nursing home. The thing becomes critical. They cannot get access to a locum GP or the GP who normally serves that nursing home. So they ship off the patient to a hospital. That's someone who might have been expected to die. Then there are those who have episodes, traffic accidents and so on. And then there are those who maybe die in A&E because they have been neglected. And that would be the worry that people would have, that the triage system doesn't work and someone with a critical condition, be it sepsis or cardiac arrest, is not spotted.
That's precisely the point. But if you think about the conversation of the last 4 minutes, by definition, when you start getting 1.7 million people coming to these 26-odd public emergency departments in this country, you are at a point of supersaturation. And supersaturation means chaos, massive overcrowding. And those are the conditions in which people will have delayed triage, delayed recognition of their problems, delayed diagnosis, and therefore delayed treatment. So in addition to the unpleasantness of having to wait for hours on a trolley and all the other misery that you yourself, Pat, know all about and have you know, recounted in recent times, you know, the sheer numbers are basically, they're on the brink of being overwhelming.
So what is to be done? I mean, obviously boosting palliative care and palliative care at home and so on, that can actually mitigate against people going to A&E who should not really be there. But still, the system might be overwhelmed with the other cases.
Yeah, and this is a problem that we have in our current model of public healthcare. I suppose we need to be having urgent conversations with ourselves. You know, first of all, you know, end of life care, especially when somebody, you know, is at an advanced age and is frail. You know, people really need to prepare and plan ahead. We need to think about the involvement of palliative care specialists, who are wonderful. We need, and they can, and they, of course, you know, the thing to remember as well, Pat, is that about 80% of palliative care is not undertaken in hospices. It's actually deployed, delivered in other nursing homes or even at home. So that we need to make more use of teams that travel from the palliative care hub out to people's homes and the community. We need more public health nurses. We need far more nurse practitioners, advanced nurse practitioners in places like local injury units, because they deliver a really superb service that's as good as most doctors can deliver. And of course, one of my hobby horses, we really need to try and work out, to develop more self-care in the community. You know, the stuff that grandma did, you know, back in the 60s and 50s, you know, looking after ourselves better in terms of prevention and having remedies at home and knowing what to do in the event of a crisis instead of just rushing straight.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.